Amen. 2 Kings chapter 3, turn with me if you will. And we're reading verse 16, 17, and 18 tonight out of 2 Kings chapter 3. Amen, praise God. Would you stand in reverence to the Word of God if you can? As we read only three verses, we'll not have you stand very long. But 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16, 17, and 18. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with the water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord, and he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Can you say amen? May God add a blessing to the reading of his word tonight. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. In the portion of scripture I'm reading here, in order to understand this word and prophecy that Elijah's giving here, you must go up into the chapter a little bit here. Amen. Jehoshaphat, a godly man, a godly king, a king of Judah, leading the people right, and a man of integrity and character, but he gets caught up in an alliance with some characters that really aren't serving God as they should. King Ahab is dead, amen, and his son takes over, and his son is moving in the same direction that Ahab, his father, did, and the Moabites rebel on him, and so the king of Israel, amen, reaches out his hand to Jehoshaphat and says, why don't you join me, and let's go down and defeat the Moabites and bring them back in. I'd like to preach just a little bit and touch this area on the lack of discernment and be careful who you go to battle with. Can you say amen? See, the king of Israel, though he was the king of Israel, was not serving the God of Israel with his whole heart. He had the Baal prophets still there. He had a lot of things still there that was not right. And he wasn't serving the Lord. He was walking in a way that wasn't pleasing to God. But yet in some way he thought he could reach the hand out and bring Jehoshaphat in to an alliance. Amen, that Jehoshaphat should have never really joined. Jehoshaphat's a good man. He's a godly man. He's a man that has character and he's living right. But somewhere along the line, because of a need or convenience or whatever, drove him, amen, to make a decision that was going to be kind of costly. Amen, he reached out his hand too and said, I'll go to battle with you. Be careful how you get yourself yoked in to things that are not of God. Amen. The Bible said, be not unequally yoked. In other words, don't put yourself in a yoke, amen, with somebody that's not walking the same way. How can two walk together unless they agree? Oh, you're not helping me right now, but I'm going down this way. Amen. Praise God. Because we live in a generation right now where it just seems like, well, if they got Christianity on their name, then they just must be right. But I'm here to tell you there's a lot of, amen, lukewarm, deluded down Christians that are pulling good Christians into, amen, into their way and trying to destroy the purity of the gospel message, trying to rob the testimony, amen, of the godliness and goodness of some people. I know some good people that have got caught up in just situations that they probably wondered, how in the world did I ever get into this? Why did I ever yoke myself or move in to a situation and get myself in alliance with this? Like Jehoshaphat, they lacked discernment for a moment. They did not look down the road or consider who they were going to battle with. They only considered the need and they just jumped by impulse. Amen, praise God. Rather than being led by God and having discernment. Can you say amen? We lack discernment in the church today. Come on now. We do. And there are good folks and young people getting caught up in relationships and caught up in things that just bind them and entangle them and rob them of the call of God and rob them of the anointing of God. My heart breaks as a servant of God and as a pastor, as I have seen many young people and even older people get caught up in something that entangled them and robbed them down the road. Can you say amen? And so Jehoshaphat, you know, when you read this, you say to yourself, what do you think of Jehoshaphat? But before I can, I'm not critical of him, because surely no, even God knows that I myself have made more blunders than he ever made. You're looking like you got a halo over your head, but you know you've missed God too. You know that when the silver tongue talking orator come, he's such a slick talker. He's a carnality Christian, but he knows enough terminology, and he's slick, Brother McMicken, and he can sell refrigerators to an Eskimo. You know what I'm trying to say? And then suddenly he's saying, God spoke to me, or God said this, or God said, let's join together. Come on now, you're not with me right now. Amen. But they'll say they even put God in the situation. But you need discernment, because not everything that's of God, that says of God, is of God. We're living in a very dangerous hour of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and a lot of things that's dangerous. Amen. Perilous time right now. And I'm telling you, my prayer is for discernment. My God, help me. Anoint my eyes with eyesalve. And don't let me get blinded by the glamour and glitter of things around to where I lose my eyesight and lose my spiritual vision. Don't let my ears get so dull that I can't hear the voice of the Lord or the warnings of God. Don't let my heart get so callous that God can't touch it or smote it like he did David. Come on now. Hallelujah. Stick with me. It'll get better, I hope. Amen. But it just baffles. When you read this, you think to yourself, you want to say out loud, Jehoshaphat, do you understand who you're joining hand with? Do you understand who you're going to battle with? The bad seed don't fall far from Ahab, his son, carrying the same kind of spirit. And somehow he persuades Jehoshaphat to join ranks. Come on now. Yoo-hoo. And so he says to him, will thou go down with me against Moab to battle? Verse 9. Amen. In other words, we got one thing in common here. Moabites. Amen. I'm going to tell you one thing. The church of Ahab, I have nothing in common with. Come on now. But what the slickness of this is, we've got common ground here. So let's join hands and get into alliance. Well, the Bible doesn't say Jehoshaphat prays about it. He just joins in because there's a common need. Now, I'm not saying be isolated or be like a hermit church. You're in a community and you've got to work and walk with wisdom. But there's an area where God will check you and God will say you can't do this or you can't go here or there. Be careful. Decisions you make are very costly. The damage you do to your testimony, you might not be able to repair. So God is warning. Don't override the warning of God nor the check of God's Spirit. When God says to you, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't join that. Obey the Spirit of God. Don't ride over it. Don't let the conviction of God even become distant to you. Come on now. I'm not talking about preferences. I'm talking about biblical convictions. Things that God is saying, this ain't right. I'm not talking about someone else's opinion. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost saying inside of you, bearing witness with your spirit, that this is not what you ought to do. Back away. Come on. Jehoshaphat's answer ought to have been, hey, we can handle our own problems on our own. We don't need you. Matter of fact, Jehoshaphat should have said, it's your problem anyhow. Why are you sucking me into it? Oh, God, help me. I'm staying right up here tonight for a while. Have you ever got sucked into something that you said, my God, why am I even sucked into this? Something to do with family? Something to do with something? Come on, something to do at work? Come on, it's very subtle. It can suck you right in. The next thing you know, you're saying yes because you can't say no. Because you're a yes person and you have a hard time and you want to sing Kumbaya with everybody and don't want to, you know, rattle any chains or rock any boats. And so you have a hard time. And so they put you on the spot and they're real persuasive. Well, you know, it'll be this or that. If you're not careful, you can wind up jeopardizing more in the effort. Can you say amen? It's all right to say no. And say it right, and say it pleasantly. But it's all right when God checks you to say, I don't even know why, but I can't do this right now. Hey, I may not even know why, but there's a check in my spirit. And I just don't quite know why, but I just can't do this. I take things to God in prayer. I don't make instant decisions on impulse. Come on now. Most of the church moves on impulse and moves on emotion and not being led by the Spirit of God. And that's why we've got the messes we've got. It's because impulse and emotion has driven us rather than the Spirit of God. And then God, we have to pick up the pieces of things that have been done because we moved ahead of God and missed God. Come on, pastors, you know what I'm talking about. You're in more damage control than anything, cleaning up more messes than anything, because the people of God don't pray. They just move on impulse. Well, it sounded good. Well, it sounded real good. Well, it sounded, you know, I thought it was God. What did you pray about? No, I didn't pray about it. Well, that was your problem. Even you didn't pray about it. You didn't wait on the Lord. You just moved quickly. Amen, praise God. And this king of Israel must have been a real persuasive man. He must have been an intimidator and a man of personality that got right in the face of Jehoshaphat and just persuaded him. This is a godly man. This ain't somebody that doesn't serve God. This is a leader of Judah. This is a man that serves the Lord and a man that God personally speaks to and gives him many battles and gives him many victories. We ain't talking about just somebody that comes once in a while. We're talking about somebody that's a leader. If this can happen to a leader, just think what happens to those that hardly arrive, that hardly make it. If you're not careful, you can get yourself in a mess. Look at your neighbor and tell him, have you been in a mess before? Someone said, I didn't come for this message. Well, bless your heart. I don't pick the messages. I'm going to tell you what, we got messes like that. We get out of the will of God, move on impulse. Silver-tongued preachers talking things and moving on impulse. Praying, saying you can do this and that. Amen. The Bible said, where two agree is touching on anything, it shall be done. You better have agreement. One time I was running a prayer line, and it was a long prayer line. Back when we used to run long prayer lines, you know. And they come through the line, and this one sister, I felt checked of the Lord. And I just stopped her and said, what am I agreeing on? And she just got a little sheepish and said, well, I really don't want to tell you. And I said, well, then I'm not really going to pray for you. Amen. And she said, all right, I'll tell you. My neighbor's so nasty, I want you to agree with me that God burns his house down. I said, God's not an arsonist. Oh, God. I said, thank you, Holy Ghost, for checking me. I'd have been agreeing with her. My God, meet this woman's need. Yeah, Lord, burn, baby, burn. My God, what kind of nut? Amen. Pray that kind of prayer. God, I don't like my neighbor burning their house down. Huh? What manner of spirit are you? I said to her, praise God, quoting scripture, praise God, hallelujah. And then a few more went by and I felt checked again and stopped and said, what are you agreeing on? Amen, praise God. And it was a brother and he said, well, I don't really want to tell you. Well, I'm not going to pray. And she said, can I whisper in your ear? I said, all right. He whispers in my ear, you know that girl that's three behind me? I'm praying that she becomes my wife and falls in love. I said, how dare? I ain't even praying. I said to the ushers, get this guy on. Move.
look down the line and said, do we have any else, any other kind of prayer such as this? Amen. Because you can just step out of this line right now. No waste of time. Can you say amen? But you got silver tongued preachers and prophets, thus saith the Lord. Oh, you're gonna hook up with so and so gonna hook up. Or even prophesy. I've heard them prophesy, thus saith the Lord. You leave your wife, go to another one. Amen. And they said, well, the prophet told me to. I don't care what, he's not a prophet from the Lord. I'll tell you that much. Cause God's not in the business of adultery, nor messing marriages up. Well, I know this is tight, but it's right and it's okay. Amen. Praise God. We've got too many, amen, kings of Israel prophesying and preaching behind the pulpit. Comfortable, swelling, sweet little words conveying and persuading and entangling good people. Getting them in messes. Believing stuff that they come in all the time saying to me, Pastor White, don't you preach this? And I say, because it's not Bible. Pastor, why don't we see this? Well, it's probably because it's not of God. You, I know that's mean, and I feel anointed nasty tonight in a way. Amen, praise God. But I'm tired of them silver spoon, kind of silver tongued preachers, taking all the money. You're raking God's people, fleecing them over fairy tales. Amen, they might as well just get up and preach on fairy tales. Amen, because it's not true. Can you say amen? So Jehoshaphat catches himself caught up in alliance with a man who's not a man of God. He's a half a man. He's kind of half in and half out, more out than in. Amen, praise God. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you miss God and you said to God, my God, help me. I got into this mess because I just didn't take time to pray. Come on now. I'm preaching, so I'll confess. But I don't appreciate you looking at me like you got a halo on your head. But I've been places where I preached and I wasn't supposed to be there. I just did it. Come on now. Big church I wanted to preach in. Finally they called me. Man, oh man, look forward, Dr. Ware. Man, I wanted to preach in that church. Old mother of the church in the mountains of West Virginia called me. I said, Mother, I can't come. They only got five up there in that mountain and it's clear up in the mountains. And if it rains, they flood. I mean, you can't get out of the mountain. And I said, I can't come right now. I'm going to another church. Have about two nights into that revival, I'm going to tell you, I was pleading with God, because I know I miss God. I know I miss God. I said, God, get me out of this mess. You ever been there? Oh, you're looking at me like you've never been there. Lord, if you get me out of this mess, I'll never get in it again. And then you're in it again. Lord, if you'll heal them, I'll do it. And then they're back at it again. But Jehoshaphat, what's amazing is he's not wishy-washy, and he's not up and down, and he's not a double-minded man. That tells me the danger of a deceiving, lying spirit. That a lying spirit from the devil is so slick that even a great man like Jehoshaphat would listen. Come on now. It's quiet in here. I didn't plan on you shouting with me when I'm preaching on lying spirits. Deceiving spirits. But you know it's true. You got loved ones that you say, what in the world's going on in their head? I'm telling you, they don't got the right mind. The devil has deceived them. They're blinded by a lying, deceptive spirit that's blind their mind and clouded their understanding, because there ain't nobody in the right mind do what they're doing. Yet you sit there and say, my God, Lord, help them. Instead of criticizing and pray for them, that God will help them. Can you say amen? That God will deliver and help them. Amen, praise God. Now let's go on. He says, let's go to battle. And he calls the shots. Notice who's calling the shot. When you come under control of a devil that's deceptive and a devil that's dominating like a Jezebel spirit, it takes control over you. There are many wonderful young Christians that got themselves in a mess because they got under some kind of domination of a spirit that was dominating them, or got into a relationship that wasn't of God and got entangled in it in some way. He's calling the shots. Joshua don't even get... We're going to battle now. And listen to what he says in verse 8. Which way shall we go up? He says to him, we're going this way, the way to the wilderness of Edom. Jehoshaphat's compliant, and he's not even calling the shots. The man that's calling the shots is a man that's not blessed of God, a man that's not a man of God, and yet Jehoshaphat has brought himself under subjection to a man that's not even a man of God. What's going on in the church when we bring ourselves under subjection to those and put ourselves in relationships and be unequally yoked under the subjection of somebody that's not even ordained or blessed or born again?
And then us pastors have to pick the pieces up when the marriage doesn't last or the marriage is abusive. Come on now. Oh God, I have had to pray more over deceiving spirits and bind spirits of the enemy in the last few years than ever. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. I have seen people, good people, that sit even in my pew, come under deception. And the devil get a hold of them somehow and begin to talk lies in their ears and begin to persuade them to go away. That's not right. Let's go the way of the wilderness of Edom. We're calling, go this way. I've seen people driven by a spirit. Sit in the pew. Oh God, I'm going to get just a little bit even down here, a little more. Speak in tongues even. Amen. Raise their hand. And then somehow get under some kind of influence. Something. Come on, somebody help me tonight. You know I'm preaching the truth. Something happens to them. I don't know what happens, but suddenly they get under some kind of demonic influence. And they ain't listening anymore. I'm trying to talk to them. And it seems like they're just turning a deaf ear. They're polite to me. Oh yeah, Pastor. I know, Pastor, that's what you'd say. That's why I didn't come to talk to you about it. That's why I haven't been around. Because I knew you'd say what you're just saying now. But I am just so much in love. And I am just so much whatever. And that spirit drives them to be on common sense even. I'm telling you, oh my God, somebody needs to pray and cry out and say, Lord, rescue those who have come under this kind of influence.
I don't judge them because myself, I've missed it myself. Oh, I must be preaching the wrong message tonight. Huh? I've missed it. I've been in places I shouldn't have been. I'm not talking bars or honky-tonks. I'm talking just in a church. I'm talking church stuff I've missed it with. I've missed things. Brother Mimic, and I've missed things. I've been influenced. Persuaded by a persuasion that wasn't of God. Even things that weren't sinful. Like one thing in Bloomsburg, when I pastored there, our organ went out of commission. And it was a Hammond organ. And there ain't a whole lot go wrong with Hammonds, I found out later on. But when the Hammond organ went out, an organist who could really play, and she needed something to play. We didn't want to sing a cappella. And so she kept pressing me. And I said, I'm praying about it. I'm praying that God will help me, lead and guide me to what to do. And they just kept pressing me. Finally, my wife says to me, you're praying too long. We need to do something. We don't got no music. And I said to her, I really don't got no clear direction on this. I finally just waved the white flag and said, all right. They went and bought a $5,000 organ with all the doodads on it. But it was a Presbyterian organ. Couldn't even play Pentecost. High pitched. My God, it was high pitched. It had so many doodads on it, it could almost make coffee, I think, even. Praise God. Almost play on its own. She was so impressed with all the doodads and everything that she wanted that organ. That thing looked like a tank up on that platform, small little platform. All the doodads. She got discouraged with the thing about 2 weeks into it and said, I don't like all these doodads. I said, too bad now. We bought all the doodads. $5,000 worth of doodads. I'm going to tell you every time that pay, amen, that deposit came in, or that payment slip came in, I'm going to tell you what, I knew I missed God. You know why? Because that organ, we couldn't even hardly play it. She began to complain. I can't play this thing. I said, tell me about it. It's a Lutheran organ in a Pentecostal church. Amen. I should have known better. Every time I looked at that thing, I cursed it. In the name of Jesus, God said, don't curse that thing. It's your own stupidity. You're the one that gave the white flag. You're the one. Let me tell you, some of you, the mess you got into is just you got tired of saying no and just gave in. The devil wore you out. He just wore you out. Sometimes us, Pat, we just get tired. We just get wore out. And I said, all right. 3 weeks later, been a preacher that I knew, met him in the coffee shop. And he said, we're closing down our church. So I'm sorry to hear about it, brother. He said, I got a Hammond organ for sale. And all of a sudden, something jumped up inside of me. And I heard a great big yes. And I didn't even ask how much. I said, we'll buy it. He said, I'll give you a good price. I said, that's better than $5,000. Amen. Pray upon my head. Anything better than that. He said, I'll sell it to you for $200. I said, I'll be up this afternoon. I think they still got that organ. Well, no, I think they put it in the corner somewhere because they got all electronic stuff now. Amen. But I think they put it in the corner somewhere. But amen. We took that Hammond, put it up there, put that old tank back there, wrapped a cloth over it, and I couldn't sell it. And finally the deacon said, you know, since you're the one who made the decision, we think you ought to make the payment. I've been out of shape, Brother Hawk, and I was about ready to say, there ain't no way. And God said, you're the one that made the decision. And I'm going to tell you what, when it comes out of your pocketbook, it'll teach you in a big hurry, won't it not? Because that payment was taking food off my table. That payment was causing me to stretch and hurt pretty bad. And I'm going to tell you, every time I look back, I thought, my God, if my organ quits now, we'll sing with comb and tissue paper, have a monkey up here with a grinder. Praise God. I'm not going to listen to the organist anymore. Every time I looked at that organ, Brother Hawk, I thought, my God, that thing's screaming at me. Why didn't you be pastor? Why didn't you have a man of God enough to stand up even to three women and tell them, we're going to pray a little longer here and sing a cappella till God shows me something here. Praise God. Come on now. Amen. I'm telling you, my wife says I move too slow, but I've made too many mistakes moving with impulse, and I've made too many mistakes, amen, just moving, and just because there was a need, we thought we ought to fill the need up, and because we filled the need up, we found ourselves in a mess. It's harder to get somebody out of a position that doesn't belong there when you put them there and they're not even meant to be there. Just because there's a need, well, there's a need, let's put them there. I won't tell you what, you'll be in a mess. So Jehoshaphat makes an alliance. And in the alliance now, he's dominated. He's hooked himself into an alliance. And the man that's calling the shots is the king of Israel. We'll go to battle when I say. We'll go down the way of Edom, the way through the wilderness. Because I'm saying, I'm going to tell you, anything that drives you can't be God. Anything that pushes you can't be God. God leads His people. He don't drive them. And so you need to take a step back and look a little better. If you'd have done that, we might not have a problem. Can you shout amen? You need to be still and know that God is God and wait on God. Somebody wave your hand if you're still living in here. I know this is rough tonight. I'm trying not to be mean. But I'm just tired of all the mistake, all the mess. Picking pieces. God help us. God's people need to wait. The devil controls them. He's telling them, we'll go the way of the wilderness of Edom. He fetches a compass. And they go 7 days' journey. And guess what they find out? They find there's no water down where he's led them. Can you say amen? You let the devil continue to persuade, or let your flesh lead you, or let your emotions lead you, or let your impulse lead you, and it'll lead you to a place that's dry and has no water. It'll lead you to a place that'll kill you. Can you say amen? And Jehoshaphat finally, all of a sudden now, realizes that he's in a mess. He realizes he's made a wrong decision. He's realized he's hooked his wagon to a wrong horse. Can you say amen? Before I criticize him, I've been there myself. Before I criticize him, I found myself, brother, mimicking in some messes of my own. Can you say amen? Because I just didn't wait. I waited, but nothing came. And because nothing came, I felt I ought to do something. And because I thought I ought to do something. Who wrote a book on you ought to do something when you think you ought to do something? My God, I wouldn't even read that book because it's written by an idiot. When you don't know what to do, guess what? Do nothing. Just stand there and worship God and do till God tells you. Because God will speak to you and He'll show you and He'll lead the way. And if you don't know what to do, then don't just do what you think you ought to do. How many people have sat in my office, I've had to counsel, and said, well, I thought it was the right. How many young people, I tell you loud, scares me. Have you prayed about your future? No, I'm just going to college. I'm going to major in this. Didn't you pray at all? I mean, that's dangerous. That's major decisions. Are you praying for a spouse? No. Well, no, she looks like the right one. He looks like the right one. I'd be praying for a spouse. When your children are this little, I'd be praying, God, give them the right companion. I wouldn't be waiting until they got to be a teenager and then their brain becomes scrambled eggs or something, you know, and they can't think straight or something, and the hormones are running. I'd be praying then. God, I'd be trying to help mine. Come on, I'm telling you, it's right. Amen, praise God. Amen. I'm not telling you it's perfect, and the world's perfect, because there's things that happen that's not perfect. And sometimes as preachers, we got to be there to help, to pick the pieces up, even when it's wrong. Can you say amen? Or they made a bad decision. Can you say amen? We need not to be. I remember years ago, you know, somebody said, well, what are we going to do? A young lady had a baby out of wedlock. Well, what are we going to do, Pastor? You're going to kick her out of church? I said, what in the world? Well, what come out of your mouth? Kick her out of church. We're going to help her raise that baby. She didn't abort it. That's one plus for her. And she's still going to come to the house of God and try to raise that baby. So I said, all the deacons, you're going to help raise that baby. We're going to help that woman, young lady, raise that baby and do right. Hey, well, let me tell you, she did wrong. But it would be wrong for us not to pick the pieces up and just lecture her and beat her down. You don't need someone to beat you down. Jehoshaphat didn't need someone to lecture. He knew immediately when they got down there, there's no water. And he knows immediately he's hearing the voice of God. You missed it.
And not only Jehoshaphat, being the godly man he is, he's led all his men down there. His mistake is not only going to cost him, it's costing those men. And they're beasts. Go ahead and let the worldly church lead you. They'll lead you to where there's no water. Go ahead and let someone counsel you outside of your pastor, and they'll counsel you to a place of no water. Go ahead and not listen to your pastor when he gives you godly counsel and he's trying to talk to you right, and yet you're getting offended because your emotions are all and you don't understand. Yes, he understands. He's been there and he's trying to help you not make a mistake. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, it breaks my heart. I don't want to see anybody make mistakes. Amen. That's devastating and destructive. But when they do and they turn around, I got to be there to help them. Amen. Jehoshaphat said to himself, I'm in a mess. There's someone in this tabernacle tonight. I hope you come to the conclusion, I'm in a mess. I'm in a mess. I'm in a holiness Pentecostal camp meeting, sitting in a seat, and I'm in a mess.
I'm out of the will of God. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know. I'm confused. And my spirit is not right. I just don't know. Well, guess what? You've got to first, number one, admit that you're in a strange land and you're where you don't belong. Can you say, man? At least Jehoshaphat was man enough to understand, I'm in a wrong place now. Amen. There's some people that won't admit they're in the wrong place. They just keep on going down the aisle and keep on going down until it's wrong. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When I do a marriage anymore, and I don't do too many of them, I don't know why. Amen. But I do the old vows, you know. And a lot of them don't want it nowadays. They want to write their own. I said, you write your own, another preacher. Get one of them liberal ones. Amen. Marry you. Because I want to do the old vows. So death has due part in that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I always say to the young man, there's a back door and you can run now. And we stand up there and I turn around and she's coming up that aisle. I'm talking to her. You can run now. My wife says to me, what would happen if he ran? She said, you'd be embarrassing. I said, no, I wouldn't be embarrassed. I just raised my hand and said, folks, we just saved a life. Let's go down and eat the food. We just loosed somebody out of the noose and didn't let them be hanged, praise God. We just spared ourselves from a divorce and children got to be over here, over there. Hey, this is a glorious day. Let's go down and eat an Emma's potato salad. My wife said you would do that too. I'm going to tell you, Kyle, I've had some men I wish they ran for the back door. I have some men I wish I'd have kicked them out the door. Well, look, I've had some men that were scoundrels and bums just came in the church long enough to find a girl to marry, and I wanted to say, will you take this? No, I got a bad feeling about this boy. Amen, come on now. I've seen them come in, just get saved long enough to find one, and then pull them back out. Or say to them, you're not going to church now. Or give them a hard time. Come on now. So I tell the woman or the man, if you marry someone who's a sinner, guess what? Your father-in-law is the devil. Because the Bible said the children of darkness, their father's the devil. So you're going to marry, your father-in-law's the devil. Your husband's going to be dominated by sin and the devil. So how can you be yoked there? Come on now. You know I'm preaching all right. Come on now. Someone said, well, I love them. I love them at personal sight. Take another look, amen. Oh, it's puppy love. It'll lead to a dog's life. Come on now. Somebody better wake up and not head down to the wilderness of Edom. Don't listen to them. Follow the leading of the Spirit of God, and God will never lead you wrong. Somebody says, you know, they come, I feel led of the Lord. Well, let's pray about it. Well, God really spoke. Well, He'll speak again. I've never had God say to me, you know, I'm tired. I spoke once and you didn't move. He'll say, you're cautious. Out of the mouth of two or three, let every word be established. Huh? Someone comes to me and says, I felt led of the Lord last night. I had a dream. I say, did you eat pizza or what? Huh? I believe in dreams and visions. I've had dreams and visions. And I've had also things dancing in my head that weren't of God either. Praise God. Come on. If I did everything that was dancing in my head, I'd have 50 ministries right now. Because we just bounce around. Amen. In our church, we want to do a daycare. They buy mats. They buy this. They buy that. Suddenly, we don't got no daycare because we don't got no kids. Guess what? No kids. I tell my wife, I guess God don't want us to have no daycare. How can you have a daycare without kids? Then all of a sudden we want a retirement home. Praise God. Oh, we're going from babies to old people. Come on now. Soup kitchen. A rehab house. Come on now. I said to her, hook in where God wants you and stay there. And just don't drive me crazy, Mom. I'm losing enough here already. Then I got people say, I feel led of the Lord. We ought to do this. And I feel led of the Lord. We ought to do this. I hate it when they use God as a leverage. God said, how do you argue with God? Doctor, you know what I'm saying? God said. I had one lady in my church years ago. She was real flaky. She said, I don't even put my socks on until God says. She said, I don't even get dressed till God says. She said, I don't even do nothing till God says. I said to her, I'm not brain dead. I ain't going to sit naked waiting for God to tell me to put my underwear on. Some of you pastors saying, my God, he's must have pastored a lot of nuts in the years. I'm telling you. We've had a lot of nuts, I'm telling you. Shoo! I got story after story I can tell you. I'm telling you. Woo! I've heard everything. I've heard God's told me this. God told me that. One brother said, God give me ministry. Greet everybody with a kiss. And he went around kissing all the women. I know he didn't kiss no men. But you know what? Even today, that's dangerous. But he kissed every woman but his wife. And my wife said, he's not called, he's a dirty old man. And so when we had a widow, she needed work done, and she was a young widow, you know. She wasn't an old widow, she was a young widow. No offense to old widows here, but she was young. And he decided he felt led of God to help around the house. Yeah, yeah. My wife said, watch him, he's a dirty old man. Listen to your wives, they know. You know, there's a radar there. Ding, ding, ding. Dirty, dirty, dirty old man. So he's helping with the commode, and finally she says to him, I don't know how to repay you for all your kindness. And he turned around and said, lay one on me, honey, and reached for her and tried to smooch. She ran for the phone, called me up. Pastor, Pastor, he's trying to kiss me. Pastor, he's chasing me around the kitchen table. I said, praise God, tell him to close his eyes and then go in the bathroom and get a plunger and lay one on him. I said, smack it so hard, it sticks to his kisser, and he got to go home and tell his wife to pull it off and then tell her what he's been up to. She hollered, I'm talking to the pastor now, and the pastor told me to hit you with a plunger. He says you're full of the devil. Boy, he headed for the door. I didn't see him for weeks. I feel led of God. Same way a young lady said, I got a ministry on the beach. Yeah. She said, all these young men are getting saved. Yeah. I said, what are you wearing down there? Oh, a bikini. I said, oh, all the young men are getting saved. Brother Hawk, I was a young man at one time. And a young man that wasn't saved at one time. And if a young lady come down the beach wearing a bikini in my sinful days and said, do you want to know more about Jesus? I said, yeah. Come on now. I said, I think if you go down there wearing modest apparel, let's see what God will do. I said, let's see if some women get saved. Huh? Come on now. Oh, I feel led. Some folks really feel led. It ain't led, L-E-E. They got led in waters in the head somehow. Something's wrong with them. I feel led. My pastor one time, a prophet in the tent meeting come out. He come out of his car, dressed in all black. Said, I got a message for your pastor. I said, he's in studying for tonight's service. You tell him I'm a prophet and I've got a word from God for him. I said, oh God. I said, you don't know my pastor, sir. I said, I don't want to interrupt him. He's praying, studying. You tell him. Yes, sir. I knock on the door and hear a string. Pastor Hugo, there's a man out here. Says he has a word from the Lord for you. Pastor says, how's he dressed? I always wonder why he asked that question. I said, he's dressed in all black. Looks like a spiritual Johnny Cash. Pastor said, you take it for me. I said, sir, he said it was for you, not me. You take it for me. So I walked up and said to him, the pastor's busy, and he said for me, amen, to take the message for you. He said, you tell him I'll be back with another message and it'll be harsher and double. And he never come back. I'm going to my closet and I'll be back. Never come back. Years later, I was sitting in the porch of pastor and I said, I got this awful feeling that someone bought a house somewhere and found some guy dressed in black. He's skin and bone, skeleton, in some closet somewhere. Never did get that second message, you know what I'm saying? Come on now. Comfort the feeble-minded. At least Joshua knew he was in trouble. And he says to the king of Israel, is there not a prophet in the land? In other words, I'm in trouble here. I've listened to you, and I didn't pray, and I didn't get a word from God. But I can turn it around. Is there not a man of God? Somebody say, I can turn this mess around. If I just turn to God, God is loving, God is merciful, God can restore what the locust and the kangaroo has eaten away. All you got to do is turn around and call on God.
Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet in the land? See, the worldly church, they don't want to pray. What are you talking about? Jehoshaphat said, I should have prayed in the beginning. But it's not too late to pray now. Is there not a prophet in the land? Amen. Servant speaks up. Yes, there is Elijah. The word of the Lord's with him. Let's go, Jehoshaphat said. Let's go to church. How many know you need to go to church when you're confused? You need to go get godly counsel. When you're confused, when you don't know what to do, you need to get godly counsel and pray through. Can you say amen? Maybe the reason why we didn't have as much messes in the old church and all kinds of trouble we have today is because they prayed a lot at the altar and they let God talk to them and work some things out. Can you say amen? We don't pray today, we just come to the preacher and expect him to fix everything or expect him to have an answer to everything. And when he don't have an answer, he must not be too spiritual or he must not be praying. Or how about you? Come on now. Jehoshaphat said, we better pray. We better call on the Lord. And when he got down to Elijah's house, Elijah looks and says, you know what? I wouldn't pay no mind to you. The king of Israel, I don't even know what you're doing here. King of Edom, I don't even know what you're doing here. But because of Jehoshaphat, isn't that the kindness of the Lord? Because of Jehoshaphat, I know that you're in a mess here. And I know that somehow he's got hooked up with you rascals. But he wants a word. He's calling on God. Isn't it wonderful when somebody comes back when they're messed up and God helps them and restores and brings a restoration? And Elijah says, give me my minstrel. He begins to play. I think the king of Israel said, let's hurry up and get a quick word. Let's get out of here. The backslider don't, and the half-baked Christian don't want, they don't want you praying. Come on. Don't carry around the altar tonight. Let's go get a hamburger. Huh. Let's go get a french fry hot dog. Come on now. Wait, let's not pray. You feel to pray. Guess where you ought to be? You ought to be praying. Y'all not listen to them. Come on now. I don't care if they're your buddy or not. Y'all not listen to them. Matter of fact, y'all turn around and say, I think you're of another persuasion tonight. And I don't know what spirit's dominating you right now. But I'm not listening to you because the Lord's telling me to pray. And I need some answers. And that's why I've come to camp meeting. I need some direction. I've got some situations that I need God to move on. Anybody got some situations you need God to move on tonight? Come on now. Then you need to shut yourself in with God and begin to pray. And say, Lord, here I am. I've come to the great counselor. Come to the mighty God who's all wise. And I'm bringing my problem and my situation to you. And here we are. Jehoshaphat said, here we are. No water. We're in a strange land. A misdirection. I've listened to the wrong kind of spirit and have been persuaded. But Lord, if you'll hear me. Somebody shout, Lord, if you'll hear me. Lord, if you'll just hear me. Here I am, Lord. And I need your help. I need a word. I need deliverance. I need help. Somebody shout, help me, Lord. Elijah's playing, and suddenly a word comes to him. It's not a word anybody expected. Make this valley full of ditches. You want an instant something, don't you? It's all right. We'll just act like it never happened. God said, it's okay, but you're going to dig your way out. You're going to have a part in this. I can see the king of Israel say, what? Shovels? Digging? Oh, well, let's go get them now. We got an army. We got this. Jehoshaphat said, we got everything but the favor of God right now. And we're going to listen to God. I can see Jehoshaphat. It's not recorded, but I can see him looking at him with fire in his eye. And say, you got me in this mess, you rascal. Now I listened to you, and you were running your mouth. And guess what? Now I'm taking charge here. And my mouth's running, and your mouth shut up. Can you say that? You need to turn around and tell the devil, I've listened to you long enough. Now you better shut up, because I'm going to listen to the right source and get back up. Can you say amen? And I'm going to dig a ditch. I'm going to grab a shovel by the word of the Lord and be obedient. And I'm going to start digging my way out of this. I'm going to start digging and standing on the word of God and making ditches. And I can hear Jehoshaphat say, come on, boys. We got a word now. We got a promise now. We're all right now. We may be in a dry place and there is no water, but we got a word now. Can you shout hallelujah? Somebody in here needs a word tonight. You need a promise. You need God's help. It's funny how things will change once God speaks to you. It's funny how things will change. Let's dig. They start digging. They start digging. All day long, they dig. By the sweat of their brow, they don't feel no unction. Don't feel no... Oh. God don't let you feel a... Oh, till you get out of it. Then you feel a... Oh. Come on now. Because sometimes we feel a... Oh, and then we quit digging. Sometimes we hit a... Oh, well, I must be all right now. And we quit digging. You ain't all right. Just because you felt a goosebump, just because you were touched one night, it don't mean you're all right. The journey's still there. The problem's still there. The situation's still there. Come on now. Hallelujah. God, let them dig. And let them dig the whole valley full of ditches. Ain't no backhoe or anything. Going to dig it out. Calluses on their hands. Amen. Bless God. Getting blisters on their feet. And God don't feel sorry, because God said this is the way. You listen to Him and you got in this mess. Now listen to me and I'll get you out of the mess. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and tell him, God, I help you. God, I help you get out. God, I help you get out. If you listen to God, God, I help you get out. Can you say amen? It may not be easy, and it may not be instant, but I guarantee you, God will help you, and He will bring deliverance. Can you shout hallelujah? So they dug the ditches, and God said there'll be no wind, no rain, there'll be nothing to give you evidence of any sign of me moving. But trust me, I will move. Can you say amen? Oh, I gotta close. Some of you are at that stage. You've dug it. You've obeyed God. And now God's silent. And night has fallen. The hardest part for Jehoshaphat was not digging the ditch. The hardest part was going to bed that night and trying to get some sleep. The hardest part was listening to no rain hitting the tent and feeling no wind blowing. The hardest part was the night. Silence. For somebody in here, you've done what you could do and you've done all that you could do. And now God is still silent. And the night is falling. But guess what? I'm here to tell you. You can only do what you can do. Now God has to move in the night. Can you say amen? Now God has to step in to do something supernatural. Can you say amen? That loved one that needs a miracle in their body, or you that are here that need a miracle in your body. Guess what? The night shall only last for a while, and weeping may endure only for the night. But the sun's coming up. Can you say amen? And joy is coming in the morning. Hallelujah. That word joy means like personal pronoun. Like joy is coming. Like he's down the road, but he's coming. Can you say amen? Night only lasts so long. The season only lasts so long. God will only be silent so long. Your faith will be tested only so long. But if you'll hold on and stand on the promise in the midst of your night, God will give you a song. God will give you joy. And then when the sun rises up in the morning, God will give you deliverance. Can you say amen? He'll fix it. He'll fix it. Oh, hallelujah. God will fix it every time. I learned to pray in and out of season. I learned to pray for any reason. Prayer is the key, and faith unlocks the door. When you call, He's on His way. He'll hear every word you say. And while you're praying, He's on His way. Because prayer will fix it every time. Oh, I wish I had the black brother with me. He might help me tonight. Praise God. Because you got to moan with that one a little bit. Prayer will fix it. Prayer will fix it. Prayer will fix it every time. Oh, sing it now. Prayer will fix it. Prayer will fix it. Come on now. Prayer will fix it every time. Oh, I said, prayer will fix it. Come on now. Prayer will fix it. Oh, prayer will fix it every time. Let me hear you now. Say it now. Prayer will fix it. Oh, prayer will fix it. I said, prayer will fix it every time. Best thing we can teach our young people is to pray. The best thing we can teach them is to get to the older when they're overwhelmed and feel pressure. And when the world's pressing all on them, to find a place to pray and lean on the Lord. That's the best lesson we can teach them. Can you shout out? Grab a shovel. Dig your way out. Don't feel sorry for yourself. And don't live in the regret and condemnation and guilt all your life. Get up. I help you get up and dig your way out. Can you say amen? Stand to your feet if you will tonight. I need to bring a watch next time. I'm preaching by a calendar. Listen tonight. No great fanfare. No great glimmer, glatter. No great glimmer, razzle-dazzle article. I'm just going to ask you plain tonight. Are you willing to come and be honest with God and say, Lord, here I am. Huh? Here I am. Would you just be honest with God? Here I am. Here I am, Lord. I find myself in the wilderness of Edom. I find myself in the water. And let me tell you something. Let me make it easier on you. It may not even have been your problem in the beginning, but somehow you got sucked into it. Family's good for doing that, aren't they? Sometimes someone gets you involved in it. The next thing you know, you think, how in the world did I get over here? Huh? You're not listening to me tonight. So it may not even be your fault. You say, well, I don't want to walk up there. Everybody will think I just miss God and don't even hear God half the time. Whatever. Like it. No, I think, and just join right into you, that you're in the same world I live in that's all messed up too. Huh? And I join right in and say, my God, I'm not the only one. But the devil's fighting the family and messing up things and killing and destroying. And the call of God is laying dormant in the heart of those I love. And saying, awaken, Lord, restore to me with the locust and the canker. Am I the only one in here that's got a messed up world a little bit? I don't think so. I'm the only one waiting in the night, believing God for the day. I'm the only one weeping and saying, my God, this night has gone on forever. I'm waiting for the day. Please bring my children back. Please touch this one. Please, this person that used to play, doesn't play no more backslide. Please, God, revisit it. Am I the only one, Brother Hawk, that looks around at our camp meeting? And at some point, my wife says, you're paranoid. And sometimes she said, you're just a sad sack. Amen. Other people shouting, and you're looking around at those who are missing. I can't help Sister Bonnie. I look out and I see who ain't here. In our camp meeting, I look around. And I remember who sang, who did this, who did that. And now they're not on the platform no more. And it's all due to a decision. It all goes back to some kind of persuasion that came over them somehow. I've had good preacher friends of mine that labored arm in arm with me. And then I wanted to shake them, Dr. Ware, till the eyeballs rolled. I said, what's wrong with your head? You got a good wife. You got a good family. You run off with some other young something that's going to kick you down the road when you just, she makes up her mind and realizes how old you really are. After she spent all your money, you've destroyed your ministry. I knew a preacher when I was a young preacher. I idolized him. I put him up, really. That's bad. You shouldn't do that. But he gave me my first revival, Brother Hawk. And he gave me my first good Bible, good study Bible. And when a preacher friend of mine said that he fell and ran off with the secretary, I said to him, you're lying. He'd have never run off. And one man that had been true was that man. But I found out he ran off. Amen. Years later, I was preaching in that area. About 10 years later, a camp meeting. A tent meeting, really. I was preaching, helping Brother Hugo. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go see him. I hadn't seen him in 10 years. When I got there, I hardly could find where it was at. I found the street. Finally found the house. Knocked on the door. He answered the door. Knowing who I was, recognized me, and then shut the door. I said, don't shut the door, please. I'm not come to condemn you. I'm not come to judge you. I've just come to see you. I said, time has elapsed, and I should have talked to you before, but it was awkward. I didn't know what to do. I said, you really hurt me. He said, you know what? I've been hurt. And he told me an awful story. How God, how he went so down low and so far down before he came back up. Amen. Bless God. I was preaching a revival a couple years back, and guess when he's there. Amen. Praise God. Back in the ministry, but not back like he was, but he's back in the ministry. God restored him and touched him, restored him and his wife, and he's old and gray. Amen. Praise God. But he's got a story of a decision, got a story of impulse, got a story of financial problems in the church and stress in the church, and he moved and made a wrong decision that cost him about everything almost. Amen. Can you say amen? But God restored him. When he come home after months being gone, his wife was waiting in the driveway, waiting for him, hugged his neck and said, I'm glad you're back. The children hugged him and said, Daddy, we're glad you're back. Tears running down this old man. He said, I'm glad I'm back. I'm here to tell you tonight, there are people in this tabernacle that have missed the mark and made mistakes. But if we leave them out in the wilderness, they'll let their bones bleach. God will close us in judgment. Can you say amen? Not one of us can stand before God and say to God that we've never ourselves been in the wilderness of Edom. Maybe not as severe as some, but it's one. But when you miss it, you miss it. It doesn't matter what it is. Disobedience is disobedience. It don't matter what it is. Come on now. But tonight I want to call an article for those that are saying, I'm in a wilderness of Edom right now. And I need God to help me. Come on, step out of where you're at. Will you come? Come on, will you come? Come on, I'm not here to condemn you. My God, I've tried to preach this message the best I can. I struggled all day long. I didn't want to preach this message. But oh my God, will you be honest with God and say to God, I'm in the wilderness of Edom tonight. The enemy is tormenting me. I'm in confusion. I just don't know. Praise God. Come on, there's others that need to come. Don't go for the back door. Go for the front. Amen. Praise God. I don't have my glasses on. I don't mean to belittle whoever's heading that way. You may have children or whatever. But come right now. Come on, this altar's open right now. Will you come? Will you come right now and say, preacher, I'm going to help. I'm going to dig my way out of this. God's going to help me. I'm going to take the shovel. I'm going to stand on the word. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, it's not that hard. Once you start to make a move, it's not that hard. Come on now. There ain't anybody in here condemning you. There ain't anybody even looking and looking at you strangely. Even praise God, because we've all been there. We've all been there. Praise God. Come on now. We've all been there. Amen. When God said, you missed it. You're not where you should be. You listened to, amen, voices and got yourself out in somewhere where you shouldn't be. But thank God, there's a God you can call on and say, is there not a prophet in the land? Is there not a word from heaven for me? And God give you that word. Yes. And come morning, after a long night of struggle and torment, the morning rises and God gives the Moabite into your hand. The thing that was meant to destroy you, God turns it around for good and gives you victory over it and loses you from it. Come on, I'm waiting just to. I'm going to count to 10. I'm waiting. Come on, 1. Come on, 2. Come on, 3. You don't want to miss this article. 4. Trust me. Trust me. You don't want to miss this. 5. Because you're going to head down a wrong road. It's going to cost you even greater. Six. Somebody says, well, I believe I'm already back. If you have to convince yourself, you're not back yet. Seven. Come on. Eight. Are you in a relationship you shouldn't be in? Come on. Nine. The Spirit of God has tried to tell you over and over in some kind of situation and you still move. Come on now. Come on now. This altar's open now. Come on. Ten. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh my God, help us tonight. I feel the Spirit of God here tonight. You know what I want you to do, you that are standing back there, that somehow you must have it together tonight, but there'll be another day for you. Why don't you come and pray for these people? Don't let one person be up here without someone praying for them tonight. Do you know there's backsliders that I talk to that say, I can't go back to church because they'll condemn me. There are backsliders that said, I tried to go back to church and they looked and had a kinked neck and looked up their nose at me. I tried to go back and make it right and the people of God wouldn't let me make it right. And I say to them, God loves you and God will let you make it right. It's a shame that God's people won't let you make it right. Especially when they're a young person. They made a bad decision. When young girls and young men in my church married the wrong one because they just, I don't know what happens, they get under. The worst thing I can do is to push them away and condemn them. I got to work with that situation now. I don't like it. I wish they'd listen, but they didn't. Somebody gets in financial difficulty and problems, I wish they'd listen and paid their tithe, but they didn't. And now they're in a mess. But I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I've got to help them. I hope the wilderness teaches them something. I hope when they dig out and God pulls them out, He'll change them. And they'll stick and be better. Come on now. Amen. Come on now. I believe Jehoshaphat never the rest of his time let this problem happen again. I believe after God miraculously moved for him and delivered him. Come on now. I believe he never went back and made that same mistake again. Amen. But if Jehoshaphat can make a mistake, you and I can mess up too if we're not careful. We can miss it. Come on now. Just by doing something we shouldn't have. Just by moving on impulse. Just by. Come on now. But you can't live in the regret. It's already done. You got to get up now. You got to let God help you. You got to get a shovel. Stand on the promise of God. And start digging your way out by the grace of God. Come on, pray. Come on, saints of God, pray. Come on, saints of God, pray. Go ahead and play something here. Go ahead and play something.